This is Taco Incidents, where we learn the secrets of breakthrough brand experience from the most brilliant leaders while we're on the search for the perfect taco. I'm Scott Porter, entrepreneur, brand experience strategist, and I'm completely obsessed with tacos. Thanks so much for joining us. Join us on Taco Stop number 8, A Mile in Her Moccasins. I met up with Susan Peterson on Taco Tuesday at Blue Poblano in Orem, Utah. Susan built Freshly Picked, a highly coveted leather baby moccasin empire, by making milestone moments for parents and babies not only stylish, but truly memorable. I wanted to learn why she believes in the power of brand experience, what she does to create it, and how it's helped her thrive. All over tacos. It really doesn't get much better than this. I'm just so excited to sit down and talk with you because yeah. I don't have my own babies yet, but I have watched the crazy phenomenon of people being absolutely losing their mind over your baby moccasins. Mm-hmm. We've done some giveaways together with churros, and you guys have been amazingly supportive of some of the charity events that we've done, Churros for Change and things, and people go insane. I want those moccasins. How awesome is that?
Well, I mean, twerking.
You guys have been yeah. doing it for how been,
9 how years. This is our 10th year anniversary this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that crazy to think that it's been 10 years already?
Yes.
Yes and no?
Yeah,
like a lot's happened.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that 10 years has passed. It's just like any relationship where you're some days it drags and then some days it flies.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how did we get here so fast, and then it's like, man, this has been eternity.
Right.
Yeah.
Last week was a year. Right.
I mean, you guys have had wild success, and it's super fun to watch.
Thank you.
I just want to like hear all about what are some of the things that you've found over the course of the year that have just been key milestones in helping you. I mean, you've been on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Which was a really big one.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that you've mentioned about another couple of really large milestones for you, but maybe just kind of take me back to where this all started. How did you even, like,
baby moccasins? Making moccasins?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was...
Grow up thinking, I want to be a clothing tycoon.
No, especially
like baby lifestyle or...
No, anything. I would sketch a lot of stuff. Like, I like to sketch like houses, or I like to sketch clothes, but I did not have in my heart, like, ooh, I'm going to design stuff and build stuff. Actually, I'm not a very good designer. Hmm. Which you don't have to be, right? To own a clothing company. I have a really good eye for it, and I have a really good eye for trend spotting, but I don't have a great eye for...
Putting it together.
Yeah. When I had my daughter, Hattie, so 12 years ago, my husband was in school, and we were just really poor. And I thought, oh, I'll be a... It doesn't even exist anymore, but at the time it was a medical transcriber.
Oh, yeah.
Where you'd like listen to the doctor.
Yeah, totally.
And now I think they have transcribing software or whatever. And I went to a semester of that at college.
Cool.
And I would rather dig my eyes out with a spoon than listen to people talk about medical stuff. Doesn't sound terrible.
Hey, I gotta hand it to you. You even tried.
Right, I tried.
You like gave it the good old college try.
It was not good. And then I had a friend who was like, I'm gonna make stuff and sell it online. And Etsy had just started. And I was I could do that. Like, I grew up, my mom sewed all our clothes.
Okay.
We weren't allowed to touch her machine, but I watched her sew everything. Pant, dresses, shirts, jackets, everything.
Huh.
I convinced my mom to get me a sewing machine for my birthday, and I just started sewing on it. And I made baby dresses and baby clothes and baby blankets and bags and all this stuff. And then I just would put it on Etsy.
For your own daughter or to sell online.
Oh, to sell.
Okay, yeah.
And started doing, like, there's a huge market circuit here in Salt Lake, or in Utah, like farmers markets and craft markets, and started doing all that.
All the DIY
and
stuff.
I had a tiny bit of success. Just enough. It was always just enough to, like, keep going.
Yeah.
Then when my son was born, my Etsy shop was okay. It wasn't great. And then I had a blog that went along. Let's say I had an unsuccessful Etsy shop and an equally unsuccessful blog.
What did you call it at the time?
It was all Freshly Picked.
It was back
then,
too.
Yeah, all Freshly Picked, yeah.
Cool.
So I started making baby shoes for on because I just thought they were so cute, and I really wanted leather baby moccasins for him, and I couldn't find any.
Huh.
And so I just tried my hand at making them. I took a picture, put it on my blog, and people said, oh, I'll buy those. And I hadn't even thought of, like, selling them.
You were just posting, like, mm-hmm. this is what I made my son.
Yeah, I mean, it was early days of social media where it didn't happen unless you put it on the internet, right?
Right.
I put it on the internet and people bought it. So I stocked my whole shop, 30 pairs, and it sold out in minutes. And I never sold anything that fast before. So I did again, it sold out, like, did again, and it sold out.
Well,
so I think out of all of that, there are a couple things where I could point to and say, like, oh, I learned that lesson there, and I learned that lesson there. Like, people go to a semester of college to learn this one principle and this one. And that one is like, man, just keep trying something different. Mm. If something doesn't work out, but you feel like this is a path I want to go down, just keep trying something different. It'll eventually work out, I think. And
wow.
It never looks like how you start out. I thought I was gonna sell baby clothes online.
Baby clothing, yeah.
Yeah. And it's it feels similar, but it was a huge leap to start selling baby shoes.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to make baby shoes. I didn't know how to size baby shoes. I didn't know how to last baby shoes. I know a lot about shoe construction now, but at the time
sure.
I didn't. And I'm all self-taught, so I just figured it out.
Okay, so at what point did you decide that, like, these moccasins were, you know, you sold out those first 30 pairs and that's what you're gonna be doing?
So I kept sewing and selling stuff besides the moccasins for about 3 more years.
Three?
Yeah, because yeah, moccasins are very expensive. Shoes are just expensive to make.
Yeah.
It's an expensive industry, and I needed a cash flow for the business. So we kept doing bags. We did leather mouse pads at a time, which a lot of money in mouse pads because it doesn't cost a lot to make. The product market fit is pretty expensive,
yeah.
especially for a leather one. Actually, we were making the moccasins and we had just brought in a manufacturer. I had like 30,000 followers on Instagram and decided, like, hey, let's do a sell. We hadn't done a sell before. So we were still making everything to order. People order it, we'd make it, ship it out. And then we had a small, like, 200 piece PO or fulfillment order coming from our manufacturer. And we did a sell and within like hours had sold 2,000 pairs of moccasins that we like didn't have the leather for, they weren't made. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I remember calling my friend and being like, hey, like just actually I was crying, I was sobbing.
Oh no.
And telling her how hard it was and she was just like, boo hoo, it's so hard to be successful.
Right, right.
And this friend has always been like super straight with me and actually she was on my board for a long time. And she just like walked me through it, like tough loved me through it. It was kind of like a pre-Kickstarter in a way. We were able to like make a lot of cash, get product out to people, and then bring on manufacturing full time
yeah.
because of that. And so it was definitely this inflection point where like we stopped making everything else after that because moccasins, there was a runway
yeah.
for us to just
no,
make
yeah,
moccasins.
That, yeah.
yeah. As I look back at that, something I've been saying a lot to my team because we had a crazy year last year is systems break in speed and velocity. And so that was one of those moments where our system, as an entrepreneur, it's scary because you think this is what I know. And if I walk through that door, then I either have to fail again in order to get where I'm going. And I'm gonna fail a lot. And I just got done failing and I was finally like having a lot of successes, right? And I don't know if I wanna take that next
yeah.
step. Sometimes we choose to do it and sometimes we're forced into it, which I was in that situation. And I just remember feeling really scared. Like I knew the business was growing. I could stop it at that point and just cash flow my life and we'd be fine. Or we could invest everything back into the business and take it to the next level, which is what we decided to do.
Yeah. And then what did that next level look like?
We got on Shark Tank because of that story. That was my Shark Tank pitch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then who was in?
On the show, we closed with a shark, but we didn't close a deal post-show.
Oh, you didn't end
Mm-mm.
up?
Damon.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great. And from there, we were able to like,
but that, like,
turn that publicity
yeah.
into real dollars and real customers within our funnel. Yeah.
And then that just like skyrocketed sales.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Shark Tank that I think a lot of people don't get is you really have to do all the legwork. It's completely up to you. You get on the show.
Done easy.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to blow up.
Yeah.
But what the truth of the matter is you have a 7-minute segment on an hour show that airs for like 30 weeks in a row. So you have like 5 days leading up to it and the 5 days after it to really capitalize on that 7 minutes. And so if you don't go on, when it aired, we had a plan that we put in place. And so we were able to really capitalize that momentum.
Nearly everyone I know, pipe dream to be on Shark Tank.
Okay.
So how does it feel? Like all the Like the nerves leading up to it, nerves in the moment. Are there nerves?
Yes.
Are you like freaking out?
Yes.
I mean, I know they prep you.
They
beforehand.
Do and they don't. Well, we've all seen that Shark Tank when someone comes out and you're like, no, go back. What are you doing? Like they just
right.
bomb, right?
Yeah.
And you think on the other end of that, there's some producer that's actually telling them that it's a great idea and you should go out there. Right? And so like
I they want good TV and
sure.
they want a variety and
sure, there has to be winners and losers, yes.
Sure.
I understand how it's cast. And so I didn't at the time realize what I was sitting on. Like I thought my business was good. I thought we were doing something
uh-huh.
amazing. Looking back now, gosh, that was amazing. But I was this much convinced that they brought me there to fail. But I was willing to do it anyway because I was like, it's gonna be great publicity, fail or succeed, right?
Yeah.
So it was very nerve-wracking. I was very scared. And like, I didn't know anyone that bombed before. It was crazy.
You think, well, I just need to talk to someone that can mm-hmm. like, has gone through the experience, right?
Yeah. So I started going through my network and I found a couple people who could like walk me through it.
Yeah.
And I had a great producer and it was just so young in my business training and like that I just had no idea what I was doing. But I think that was the charm of it. Like I think that's what the shark liked about it
yeah.
is that I just go after stuff. I would say my one superpower, if I had one, is just muscling through something and then in reflection realizing how scary it actually was.
Mm.
In the moment I don't get really scared.
Mm.
But then after it's like, oh, I could have died or, oh, that was crazy
that was,
or whatever.
That was really terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that was kind of the same thing with Shark Tank. And now I can't watch the show because I have post-traumatic stress disorder from it.
Do you
it.
Still remember some of the things they said to you?
Well, no, it was just a lead up. Like, I mean, look, it's like a reality show first and a closed door investor meeting second. And so as if I get scared, I shut off and like, there's no emotion. And I just
like almost freeze or?
No.
Oh.
I can interact with you, but you're not gonna get me high. You're not gonna get me low, nothing. Like one emotion. And so they were definitely doing stuff to mess with me to try to get something out of me. Like right, you know, you see where the entrepreneur walks down the doors and they walk down the hall.
Uh-huh.
So I'm there, I'm about ready to throw up and I'm standing by the doors, right? They open the doors. They're like, they can't hear her mic. And the music had even started, and then they shut the door. So I open the door, and then they shut the door, and I'm like, I'm gonna throw up. I look at my producer, and I'm like, find me a bucket. And he's like, no, you're fine. But it wasn't even like, that was more emotion than I had for him. But I know they were just trying to get some emotion out of me.
Like, trying to trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't work. I didn't give him anything.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's amazing. What a cool experience.
Yeah, it was really, really awesome.
And that was, so that you'd classify that as like a really key milestone for you guys as far as like the national coverage and exposure was tremendous,
yes.
right? I mean, that's like you said 7 minutes, but like.
I think it was like one of their highest watched shows that year. Yeah.
Wow. I'll let you eat for a second.
Okay.
Oh, those are really tasty. I mean.
It's like the salty, sweet,
oh my gosh.
Spicy.
That cheese. I like the spice too.
Mm-hmm.
While you're eating, one of the things I'd love to ask you about is why? What is it they love about Freshly Picked? Like what makes it something so desirable?
It's actually not the fashion aspect of it.
Okay.
So what happens when you have a baby is you realize something that has been true your whole life, but you laugh at your mom when she says it. Is that time is a thief and you can't stop time and time wins. And as a mom, I remember having these moments when my child was little and their chubby face and you just, ugh, and thinking I'll never forget this moment. And I can't remember what that moment is. Life just starts passing you so fast and it feels like you're like holding onto their childhood like a snowball and it's melting and there's honestly nothing you can do about it. And it's terrifying and it's sad and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And what the moccasins do is they capture that time in your life.
Hmm.
When the moccasin is worn, you get a perfect footprint from your baby on the bottom. And there's scuffs on the toe from that time at the park when they fell down. And there's just like all these beautiful memories encapsulated in this little leather shoe that looks good on them. You remember fondly them wearing it. And then you have it as they're growing up and to be teenagers that talk back and only want to play Fortnite, right? And so that is where the brand essence and DNA comes from, is if we can help a mom mark this meaningful part of her life, when you become a mother, that's really meaningful. And then also mark the child's life in one product, then I feel like we're doing it right.
Wow. So it's a snowflake. It's like something that's so personalized and perfect to each one of them
right.
once they wear it. And it's like,
yeah, yeah.
They're perfect.
It becomes as much as you want it to mean, right?
Huh.
And I think for moms, wow. there's something wonderful about dressing your baby cute and wanting them to be cute, but also like every mom holds on to certain things, and we hope that freshly picked is what you hold on to.
So how do you communicate that heirloom nature of, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really like something that you'd pass on. It's something that, you know, becomes part of your family history. How do you guys communicate that in your brand, in how you interact with your customer?
We communicate it through, so the price point is aspirational. We have good margins, but they're not phenomenal. It's not like socks, you know what I mean? Or like anything else that has a high markup. All of our leather baby shoes are made here in Linden, Utah. The care and concern and that goes into each shoe is the same, whether it's going to a big box retailer, whether it's going just direct to our consumer. And then the packaging. So there's a lot of care that goes into making each shoe and delivering it to the customer. As far as our branding goes, we like to tell within our social media, within whatever we're putting out, we always try to tell the customer's story. And a lot of it's a journey to and through motherhood. So I have this philosophy that the only time you really change in your life is when you have a baby. You get a license, right? And you're like, my life is going to be different. I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to do all these things. But what really happens is you're the same old asshole, except you're picking up eggs for your mom at the store, right? And then you like graduate from high school and everything's going to be different. And somehow you move to college or you move away. And guess what? Same problems. You're just in a new situation, right?
Yeah.
So there's so many times in your life that we mark and we celebrate, but you don't actually change. Like change kind of comes slow and like through a lot of lessons. When you become a mom, there is like one day you're this person, you're Susan, just me, and the next day I'm Hattie's mom. Like you're a different person. Your title's different. Your priorities shift. Everything you do changes. And so what we like to tell is a story to that point and then the story after that point. We focus on a lot like telling pregnancy stories and then telling first year stories and helping our product mark those times.
Mm. Okay, let's do this. I love the blue corn too.
These are so good.
Mm. Have you ever been to Mexico?
Yep.
Mexico City?
No. I went to Puerto Vallarta and I've been to Cabo.
Okay.
I went to Puerto Vallarta when I was like 19 and I got a parasite. It was great. I was so skinny for a long time.
Wow. Mm. That is really good. So what are some of those, like, I would imagine that you guys connect so well with your moms, with your clients, with your customers. I imagine that you get like testimonials from them, stories like you hear back from them. Like mm-hmm. what are they saying? Like what are they saying about Freshly Picked and what impact you're having in their lives?
That's a good question. Like we get a lot of testimonials. I would say my favorite are this is like an extreme example, but like when a special needs mom has found our product and we're able to make her life better or easier, you know, because when you're caring for a sick child, you have so much you have to worry about. And if we at all can like alleviate any of that burden through our product and our brand, then those are my favorite stories. Mm. Yeah.
So it's not just, I mean, yeah, you're like adding this level of joy, of delight, memory, mm-hmm. this keepsake it's a really amazing perspective, you know, because a lot of people would, I think many or maybe the majority of CEOs and business leaders look at their business as a money-making opportunity.
Oh, I do.
Which is great.
yeah, definitely we do, yeah.
For sure. But you can tell that there's more to it there for you.
Sure. I mean, I could go do any job, right? Really. I think like, I'm one of those, someone asked me today, are you glass half full or glass half empty, and I'm like, I'm just happy I got a glass. Like, I don't care. Put anything in it. I don't care. So I definitely feel like if I wasn't doing Freshly Picked, I'd be successful at doing something else. I've wanted for a long time, and I want to continue to build a legacy product. And for me, that means that, like, my grandchildren are wearing Freshly Picked, but I'm not working at Freshly Picked. In order to do that, you can't sacrifice brand for a dollar. You kind of have to take a slower approach to it.
How do you infuse that idea of legacy, of like caring about creating this memory moment for mothers?
Yeah, for us, it just, a lot of it comes down from the product side, a lot of it comes down to quality and making sure that we're putting out what's best. From the marketing side, what that comes down to is making sure that the levers that we're pulling have an eye on the future, you know?
How does that look like?
Anyone can say, ooh, 50% off sale once a month, right? But what it does over time is that it kind of erodes your brand a little bit. And so making sure you're spacing your promos out, making sure that you're launching into a category, letting that category breathe and grow, and then making sure that we treat our customers with white glove treatment. So we have a group of stay-at-home moms, we call them the Mom Squad, and there's about, I think, 12 to 14, I'm not sure on the exact number right now, but they do all of our customer service. So we have moms talking to moms. And we kind of have a Nordstrom philosophy, which is like, we just want people to be happy. We want people to interact with our brand and feel like they're heard and they're taken care of. Yeah.
And so you leave it to the moms to talk to the moms.
Mm-hmm. And so there are people who are interacting with our product and use our product, and then helping other people use it and interact with it. Yeah. Mm. I'm going for this good chip right here, Scotty.
That's the mother load. Speaking of mothers. How do you get the right people on your team to like have the same mentality? What does that mean? What does that look like for you?
No one has that dialed in. And if they tell you they have it dialed in, they're liars. Because it's the only way. You do everything you can. You build your culture around values. You're mission-driven, you're purpose-driven. And then you swing and you're right 50% of the time, really. But what you will do if you build your culture around all that is you will weed out the wrong kind of person and you will keep the right kind of people. The more people you have that are good for you, like fit within that culture, the more you'll attract people like that. But I talk to people who run companies with like 400 or 500 people in them, and they say the same thing, like hiring's just really hard.
And screening for those right people that mm-hmm. share the same vision and
sure,
like
people
ideal.
Will say whatever to get hired.
Yeah, for sure. So what are the mission and values of Freshly Picked look like? What are those?
You're really putting me on the spot. I don't know. I'm off the top of my head.
No, that's okay. Like, what are the ones that, like, what's
you're
the...
You're going to edit that part out. Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah, you got me. Only make me look smart.
Don't worry.
Gosh, we just made them new.
Well, what's the heart of them?
The heart of them is our customers, always. Mm. And then within the office, encouraging people to be a good coworker. We just, my favorite one that we just added is solutions driven. Because everyone can sit around and come up with like the problem.
Yeah.
And then what I want is you to like go for the solution and then come and say, here's the problem, here's a solution I propose, and this is how we're working towards it.
Like, yes. Yes. Thank you.
Be a good coworker.
Yeah.
Yeah, be cool.
Be proactive.
Yeah.
Assertive. It's that all of that stuff like really helps a lot to like.
You have to ask every CEO now and let me know who's on it.
How would you describe the Freshly Picked experience? Like, what would you say, like, when someone says, how do you feel as a Freshly Picked customer? Like, so I'm not a mom.
Yeah.
I never will be.
Okay.
Okay. Like, that's established.
Yeah.
So, what does my experience as a Freshly Picked customer look like as a mom? Like, if you're to describe it to me, that I will never have that experience.
Right.
What does that look like?
Well, we hope that you're a Fringe member. Have you heard of our Fringe membership program?
I know of it, but I don't know. Tell me all the nuts and bolts.
Okay, so it's $10 a month that turns into $10 store credit. And then the perks are you get 20% off the site all the time, free shipping all the time, and early access to the staff and product. I hope that you're part of the Fringe program because your experience is so much better.
Okay. These are your loyal, like how many people are in the Fringe?
20,000 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, we started last April. We'll end
of
last March.
Love the recurring
March.
Revenue model. That's
sure,
nice.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
And what's the audience here, right?
How many moccasins have you sold? Pairs.
Oh.
Since you started. Do you even know? Like, have you... What would that be? Are we like, are we talking millions?
Oh yeah.
Millions.
Probably, yeah.
And on the feet of babies from the Kardashians to Jessica Alba.
Sure.
To
yeah.
Who else?
Who are
some of the fun celebrities?
People don't tell their celebrities.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. Well, okay. No, because then they'll stop working with you, right?
Okay. Well, we won't talk about them then. These secret wonderful people that their babies.
Look, I hope. Since you brought it up, though, yeah. I do hope that like the mom who is buying one pair a year and is saving up to do that gets the same feeling of love and concern and care for her that like a Kim Kardashian does, who can afford whatever. So I hope across the board people feel is taken care of.
Don't feel like a VIP, really, right?
Sure, I mean, yeah. Yeah. If you're talking to Freshly Picked, we're talking back to you. We are proactive about problems. We want everyone to feel like a valued customer. And we want everyone to feel like what your experience is valid and this is a special time in your life. We want to be there to support you through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what does that look like as you scale? I mean, you guys are looking, you have had really tremendous growth over the past years.
Yeah.
What does that look like as you scale, and how do you still maintain that personal level of attention?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the Mom Squad program just flexes up and down. At times we've had 20 members on there, and at times, like now it's kind of scant because we're in a slower period of time. But yeah, that's an easy model to flex up and down. And then our product.
So the Mom Squad's really core to that, like white glove.
Yes, Mom Squad.
I get you.
The Mom Squad is the secret to our success. Mm. One of them. You don't give away all your secrets, right? Yeah, one of the secrets because. I think it's really cool that like moms are helping moms instead of like some call center in Virginia or wherever. Where are call centers? Rexburg. That's where call centers are. So instead of like some call center in Rexburg, we have, you know, the mom who, our Mom Squad members are routinely having babies and outfitting their kids and like they're
in the trenches.
Yeah, they're living what our customers are. Yeah. And so if anyone understands them, they do. And I think like if someone comes to you frustrated, they just want to be heard, they want to be seen, they want to feel validated. And so that's what our team tries to do. Hmm. Yeah.
Mom Squad. I like envision these, like they're wearing like some sort of t-shirt with an emblem,
heroes,
like cape,
for sure,
you know, the wind's blowing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, they're amazing.
That's so awesome. How do you find the right moms?
Mostly now it's word of mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, I'm on the Mom Squad. Is it like the secret club?
Yeah, right. The manager, Brianna, she has a really good screening process that she puts everyone through. It's like, actually, I tried to apply just to see the application process. It's a really...
Did you make it?
No. She wouldn't hire me.
But well, that's like, okay. You have another job, so
yeah,
that's
right?
Okay.
Yeah, right. Something to fall back on. So it's a pretty in-depth process, and she really gets to know people before... They work for her, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's cool. It's good to know that the Mom Squad is like top of the line.
Yeah.
Top caliber moms giving advice. Why do you think that it's so difficult? Clearly have a level of attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
You have your like solutions and results driven. You care deeply about your customers and your team. I mean, those are all like key components to a thriving business.
Yeah.
Are there other things that you would say have really helped you guys thrive?
This last year, what I've really learned a principle around resiliency. Huh. And I think like, I don't give up, mostly because I don't notice when I'm in trouble, but there were a couple times this year when it was pretty scary. Like we definitely really pulled through in 2018. And what, for me, what it looks like is you show up every day and you put in the work and you're gonna get results or you're not, doesn't matter, but you show up the next day and you put in the work. And
keep at it.
Yeah, yeah, and I had to do that 320 out of the all days last year where it just showed up and like really worked our butts off to try to keep things moving along. And our investors are super happy with how the year ended. We're really happy with how the year ended, but we had to switch everything. Like I said, like systems break in speed and velocity and you have to like take it all apart to see what's broken and what's not and put it back together in a new way that will work. Where people get squirrely and where people really get scared is that growth when you feel like I'm really comfortable with who I've become and I'm comfortable where I'm at and understanding that you're gonna have to go back square one and learn things again. especially if after you've had like a pretty good measure of success, you know?
Yeah.
To go back to being a pupil and having to start over and it being scary and nothing's for certain. I think that's where people quit. I don't blame people who quit. It's hard. Like, being an entrepreneur is hard. It's lonely. It's mud in your face all the time. It's very vulnerable and really uncomfortable. I wanted to quit a couple times, but I just kept getting up and going to work and being there and showing up, and it works out. And so I think what you work on building becomes something, and if you just leave it, sometimes it'll fall. So. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, it's resiliency and just like the persistence to keep going.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, it's tough. It is. It can be really discouraging at times. You know, even when you feel like you're seeing results as an entrepreneur, you're seeing further down the road, and you're like, I know we can be that over there. Like, you have that vision, and you're like, that over there seems so far from where you are.
Yeah.
It can seem so far from where you are.
Yeah.
And I think also I've found, at least for myself, I'm really hard on myself too, right? Like, there's much more that I would need to be able to do. There's much more that I want our team to be able to do, much more that, you know, it's just like,
yeah.
You can see more progress, and I think it can be tough.
Yeah, yeah. It's heavy.
It can. Absolutely. Why do you think that like you mentioned, I mean, some people just quit after a while. They're just like, done, go back working for the man or whatever the situation is. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everyone has their own path. But I guess one of my questions is, you clearly have been able to differentiate yourself from other and set yourself up apart from other baby lifestyle clothing providers, accessories, because of the connection that you make with these moms, the quality of product that you have, how desirable it is. Why don't you think more business leaders figure out that sweet mix of like quality with this white glove, empathetic, memory building, meaningful nature. Why don't more entrepreneurs or business people, business leaders, understand that element of the importance of, you know, it's not just create a great product. If you build it, they will come, sort of thing. There's additional effort to create a meaningful experience for them.
I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know either. Yeah. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. Because we live in a world where there's just a lot of transactions, like products, very little is exceptional. Mm-hmm. And so when we do get exceptional, like when I can call my mom squad and get the answers to my questions or feel heard or seen or understood, it stands out because everything else we deal with is like mediocre or terrible.
Yeah.
From a customer experience perspective.
Yeah, I don't know why other people don't do it. I know for Freshly Picked, we definitely want to be memorable. And we want people to remember, we want people to tell their friends. It needs to be like a 360-degree experience. I think a lot of people try, and I think what happens is you have to pick so many times. You have to pick, do we spring for expensive packaging or do we spring for this other thing? And you really can't do it all. And so I think a lot of people try, and like even us, we're trying our best, and sometimes it hits off wonderfully and sometimes it doesn't.
Sure.
So I think people are trying to, you know.
Yeah. And I think those that like really embrace that extra element, they're creating something memorable and special. People remember it and they spread the word, and those are the businesses that are really going to end up thriving and leaving a legacy like you're talking about.
Yeah.
So what does that legacy look like for you?
Freshly Picked?
Yeah. Or your life. Like what, I mean, you're creating this empire of amazing baby lifestyle products.
Yeah.
And that you want your grandkids
to wear, but not own.
Exactly. So what exactly does that, obviously the moccasins, you want your grandbabies to wear them, the meaning behind that for you?
Like what does a company go on and do? Or like, what do I do? Or
and they say, grandma started this company.
Right, like probably in the same way that the Johnson & Johnson kids are like, enjoy. I always just want people to be proud of me. Like whoever I'm working with, I want them to be proud of me. I want my parents to be proud of me. And I think like, I'd love if like, there's something cool that the people who come after me can point to and say, hey, she really built this thing. It'd be awesome if the legacy that I leave for my kids is, doesn't matter what you want to do, doesn't matter what it looks like, you can achieve anything if you just go after it. And same thing for my grandparents. And I hope as I build and set Freshly Picked off on its way, that can continue that, and then whatever I build after it can kind of stand up to that too.
That's so awesome. Like, put these moccasins on. This is, grandma built this.
Right.
We can do anything.
Right. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Well, I come from, both of my grandmothers were really, sacrifices they made and the lives that they built still affect me today. My grandma on my mom's side, she ran 2 town bars during the war and raised 4 kids basically on her own.
Wow.
And would kick drunks out into the street, and then also like take care of the people who couldn't, like, she took care of people, you know? Gosh, I think of how tired you have to be to run 2 town bars and raise 4 kids. And so when I'm tired, you're not gonna hear from me about how tired
grandma.
I am. No, you
channel
are not.
Grandma.
And then my other grandma, she found herself single with 4 small kids and raised 4 children on a school teacher salary. All of them went to college. All of them are very successful contributing members to society. And her too, like, both of those women, their legacy lives inside me. And so if I can pass on a portion of what they've passed on to me, that would really mean a lot. Like, the girls that come in my line after me, I hope they look to me the same way that I look to my grandma.
I'm sure they will.
Hopefully.
I'm sure they will.
Still time to mess it up, but I'll try.
You're not going to give up, though.
No. Mm-mm.
That's not happening.
No.
And there's a power in that resilience and that, like, determination.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm excited to see these freshly picked moccasins on your grandbaby someday.
Yeah, it'll be great. Do a conversation.
How far away is that from now?
I'm only like 20, Scott. So.
Right. No, I mean, I'm talking about your daughter. So
she's 12.
Okay, so
we have at least 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least
before,
right?
She can start dating.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll just revisit this conversation
Sure.
in several decades down the road.
Yeah, we'll put a pin in it. Yes.
Oh man, I love it. You've done such a great job at crafting this really awesome experience for your customers. What is one thing that you would suggest that they do, even not to like overhaul their brand experience or overhaul their customer experience, but just one thing that maybe they could do now in the next 24 hours to just dial it up a little bit
for brand?
And the experience and the way that they're like, you want Freshly Picked to be memorable.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give someone else to just do something a little bit more that's maybe feeling like it's the brand experience and customer experience seems a little bit nebulous or a little bit hard to wrap your arms around?
Right. So today, I mean, we had a really good example today on our Instagram stories where we have the Disney license for princesses. So last summer we put out Ariel, Belle, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, like the classics, Snow White. And we got a lot of feedback from moms that said, we don't see inclusion within this line. And we thought, you know what, you're right. But it was also like what Disney given us. That was kind of our first foray. So we went back to Disney and we said, we really need Tiana and we really need Mulan. And we requested Jasmine, but there's a Jasmine movie coming out this year.
Oh, so they timed stuff.
So they said, we don't have artwork for baby for that. Cause you know, the way that Disney is so big and you have to have artwork for certain categories. So they created special artwork, Mulan and Tiana, for Freshly Picked that was not anywhere else. And we were able to launch those within a couple months.
Wow.
And some mom wrote this big story about how she gave the feedback. She thought nothing would happen. We were so like, okay, thanks for your feedback is what we say always. And then we work our butts off to try to make it under promise, over deliver. And she said, never have I felt more seen from a brand.
Wow.
And so see your customers. Be a reflection of what they're telling you and let them see that you see them, whether by telling them or by showing them in the product you release. Yeah. Hmm.
So cool. That's powerful. And
thanks.
Are those already out? So they're out now.
Yeah, well, they came out with it. Because of our manufacturing plant here in Linden, we can turn product around in like weeks. Yeah.
Because they're just right here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait for
no.
Other side of the world, anything like that. That's awesome. How cool. Moana, is she on there on the in that mix?
Moana's tight. No
is
one's really
so,
got her.
So
yeah,
new?
Yeah, she's not in the baby space yet, yeah. because we are baby category, a lot, we have to get special permission from Disney for a lot of the characters.
Cool.
Yeah. Which is great.
And what are some of the other big, like, kind of iconic brands that you've worked with? And I know that you have Hello Kitty.
We've done Hello Kitty. We've done Care Bears.
Disney, Care
NASA.
Bears.
This year, one of our product is, we got so much product coming down the pipeline this year, but the big, I can't talk about them yet, but our licenses here is unlike anything we've ever seen, and it's the most exciting year for licenses for Freshly Picked and product. So we've got a lot of really good stuff coming out this year.
Will Disney also include Star Wars at all?
Star Wars usually doesn't do baby.
Doesn't do baby?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You just see like little mini Jedis in formation, you know?
Basically, we ask every time we talk to them, so I think eventually we'll wear them down, but we'll see, yeah.
You can sell them with a little lightsaber, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
What does this next year look like for Freshly Picked?
Yeah, so there's like a couple categories
like
we're working
on.
Yeah, lots of licensing and really good product. Because we don't have a lot of sales events, we do a lot of releases. So we launch something probably 5 days a week. So a lot of product, a lot of licenses. From an enterprise value perspective, building our top of the funnel resources is a big one. Hmm. And then also doubling our fringe is another big one.
Oh, yeah.
And then internally, we have some key hires that we're trying to make. So that's a lot of stuff.
There's lots going on.
Yes.
Never a dull moment.
No, it's good.
Oh, man. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time and making the time to talk.
Great.
It's so inspiring to hear what you've done and what the success has been for you. And
thanks,
and
Scott.
I'm excited to share it with other people. And so they can like say, gosh, they do that. That's something that I could do.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I could incorporate.
I hope people look at me and say, Susan Peterson is no smarter than me, no more talented than me. If she can do it, I can do it. Like, I really hope that people look at me and say that. Hmm. Because I want people, I think so many times we're scared of our dreams. Not because they're too big or like any philosophical reasons. Just like, it's scary to go after what you want. It's really scary.
Yeah.
And so I just hope people look at me and say, if she can do it, I can do it.
Get courage from your example.
Sure, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt. I know that's happening already. I told people that I was meeting with you, and they're like, you're meeting Susan?
Aww.
I love Susan. And people that like see you as that example of exactly what you said, like what they can do anything. Anyone mm-hmm. can achieve their dreams.
Yeah.
And have that courage. So it's happening.
That's good.
Well, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Scott.
And I can't wait for several decades down the road for us to come back and have tacos with your grandbabies.
Yes.
In your moccasins.
Yes, it'll be great.
And maybe then they'll be wearing the Jedi
yes,
Knight moccasins.
By then we'll have the Star Wars license for sure.
And they'll be on franchise, I don't even know, 35 by then?
Yeah.
It'll happen.
It is gonna happen, yes.
Special thanks to our host Blue Poblano for creating the ideal place for us to talk about brand and customer experience. Love the Southwest flair to their tacos with the blue corn tortilla and the roasted green chilies. Really good. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Taco Incidents. I'd love to hear your feedback, so hit me up on Instagram, email, phone, or, of course, over tacos. Check out our website, searchfortheperfecttaco.com, where you can watch the video version of these episodes and see all the taco action. And just when you thought Taco Tuesday couldn't get any better, I'll be releasing a new episode every week. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you'll be the first to know. And I'd be forever grateful, and definitely owe you tacos, if you'd leave a review of Taco Incidents on Apple Podcast. So join me as we search for the perfect taco together and discover how amazing brand experience can empower you to thrive.